now in its third year, it's A Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels, talking about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Sit back and enjoy, everybody.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 192 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio. Thanks for giving the episode a listen. If you're new, I do appreciate you stopping by and checking it out. Have the show going on now for closing in on 3 years, and so glad to have you aboard. We're going to be jumping into our tips for round 21 of the men's comp here with my special guest, who's become a bit of a regular over the last 6 weeks or so. I've enjoyed talking with him on this. Now, folks, don't forget that if you are interested in having your local footy club get a shout-out during an upcoming episode, drop me a note. You can check out all my socials over on my website, ayankonthefooty.com. I will say that my email is ayankonthefooty@gmail.com, but all the other ones are linked on my website up at the top. They'll take you directly to there. I love being able to highlight the clubs throughout the season, into the off-season as well. Now, also, if you've not had a chance to take a listen to episode 186, I do hope you'll go back and give that a listen. As I'd mentioned, we're trying to do something special for somebody who's having their 80th birthday coming up here in the not-too-distant future. Okay, it's my mom. It's been a tough month for her now, and we're hoping to go ahead and give her a lot of joy on her birthday with cards from all over the world and something inside the card that describes something that brings the sender joy, or a photograph or a postcard or something of that nature that that brings them joy. So hopefully you've taken a minute. If you want to do that, that'd be fantastic. Now, today's club of the episode is being sponsored by MickAussie.tv, and MickAussie.tv is run by Kim Harrison, or as we call him here in North America, Mick Aussie. And I did hear him shoot a question off to the Duff and Quarters podcast the other day, so it was great to see him pushing his argument about why do we put the mouth guards where we put them. Mick has spent the last two decades with his sports comedy channel talking about the AFL, the NFL, hockey, the NHL, the Canadian Football League, and he works for the Edmonton football team as well. He's also weekly on Sports Grid TV with Gabe Morenci. He was a great player of his own right in South Australia as well. That's up in the Northern Territory for a while. And the club of this week's episode is the Zilmir Eagles. And the Eagles are based in the northern suburbs of Brisbane and were formed in 1962 when they merged with Windsor. And former son and cat Zach Smith played with the Eagles, as did current AFLW players, Taylor Harris, several players from the Lions, Allie Anderson, Sharnie Webb, and Sophie Conway, as well as Port Adelaide player Jackie Yorston, who had previously been with Brisbane. They play their home games at O'Callaghan Park, and Eagles, best of luck to you as you close out your 2022 fixture. I know that that's coming up soon, so I hope you have a great end of the season. Again, this week's episode was sponsored by MickAussie.tv. Mick, thanks so very much, man. Now, folks, remember, you can find everything related to the podcast over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. I do hope you'll get signed up on the mailing list so that when a new episode comes out, you'll get it sent to you as soon as it's available. And also, if you are interested in being a guest, because once the men's comp winds down and we're going to be sliding right into the women's comp here in just about 3 weeks, we'll have about 2.5 months of the women's comp going on, and then we're going to go into the off season. Now, I may start dabbling a little bit with trying to learn a little bit about cricket, because I don't watch a lot of basketball or hockey or anything like that here. And, you know, the NFL season's going on, and if you're following that game at all, who knows who's playing quarterback for my Browns? I have no clue. Not sure I like the guy who's playing there now. But hopefully you'll get signed up on the mailing list. If you've got a great idea for a story, I reached out to somebody who dropped me a note on Twitter the other day, and I'm going to be talking to them once the season winds down, and it looks like they've got a great story to tell about some involvement they had with one of the clubs. So if you know a former player or if you are a former player, I would love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you on the show because I liked still talking to people about the game even during the off season because it helps keep it fresh in my mind. And quite frankly, this is what I love doing. And I love bringing those types of stories to you once the off season happens. I know I love to sprinkle in the interviews during the course of the season, but I really love digging into those things once the season is wrapped up as well. So again, hopefully you'll sign up for the mailing list. Hopefully you'll drop me a note over there. If you want to leave a review for the show, if you enjoy what you're hearing, that would be great as well. Now let's take a moment to look at the games that are going to be available here in the United States this week. Okay. From your cable or satellite provider or your streaming service provider. And this information is all from Afana.com. And we've got four games this week that are going to all be on Fox Sports 2. And I think there's going to be a few games on Fox Soccer Plus, but I don't know how many people actually subscribe to that one, so I'm not going to mention those. But at 5:30 Friday morning, the Melbourne-Collingwood game. At midnight on Saturday morning, GWS and Essendon. At 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, Geelong and St. Kilda. And at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, Brisbane and Carlton. So, three of the four games have direct correlation to what's going on in the top eight this weekend. So, yeah, Fox Sports, good on you for getting some great matchups here for us to see in the United States. Okay, thanks for that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be joined again by Kim Harrison, or Mick Aussie, as we call him here. He's got the disco ball with him there this morning. It's about 7:20 in the morning in Edmonton, and it's going to be a hot day. He can say that for a few more months, and then it'll be down in the negative 20s for about 6 years. Mick, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good, mate. Up early, but I'm always up early, so, you know, probably better we do this early and the teams are out, and I'm sure you've got the ins and outs. But yeah, some big news in the AFL, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, this week.
This has been a very interesting news cycle. You know, of course, you know, we've got, you know, sad but positive things happening with, you know, veteran players who are stepping aside from the game. You know, Josh Kennedy is retiring. David Mundy is stepping aside from the game. He's been playing, I think he was actually on Melbourne's original team back in the mid-1850s, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been with Fremantle for, 17 years, 18 years, something like that. Stephen Motlop stepping aside as well. You know, some great talented players who are going to be leaving the game at the end of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. There is and Josh Kennedy as well, terrific player. But yeah, I think we maybe the big news that broke a couple of days ago in Australia, and it really is massive news because AFL is the biggest sport in Australia, and this the Adelaide Crows camp saga has reared its head again. It's they bought in this company called Collective Minds during the 2017 season. They did some work with the Crows. And in the finals, you might remember where the Crows all grabbed arms and stared at stuff. So that's all good. But then camp they went on pre-season in 2018 has been a big story. And with Eddie Betts's book being released, massive, massive news.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to get a copy of that book. I need to order that. I'd like to get an actual physical copy rather than a copy on my Kindle. But yeah, it sounds like there's just been some really tough news, or the discussions in this have been, you know, kind of ripped open some wounds and such. It sounds like.
Yeah, I'll try and be as brief and concise as I can, but there was backlash after the camp, and you've been former Navy and now school teacher. Your thoughts on this are probably pretty even keeled. The camp obviously was some military style training, which I have no problem with. It creates team bonding. It toughens people up, which is what you need. But there was always some rumors that things didn't go quite well, especially with a couple of the Indigenous Aboriginal boys. Eddie Betts obviously was one of those. And Sam McClure and the Melbourne media really honed in hard on Adelaide. And I thought it was a bit of a witch hunt of Melbourne arrogance against the little city of Adelaide. And Graham Corns, the famous SANFL player for Glenelg, in the media, played at North Melbourne for a while. His boys played for Port Adelaide, as you know. He did an amazing three-part interview with the bosses of this company called Collective Minds. I listened to that. I thought it was very well interviewed. And then the Workplace SA, that South Australian government organisation, cleared the Crows of no ill doing, the AFL Integrity Department as well. But that said, as you and I know, and personally, I can talk to this, that, you know, the companies will all, the bigger companies will always have the power, and the little guy can often get screwed. And even though they said there was no ill doing, we often know with big companies that can be a load of crap. So with Eddie Betts's book coming out this week, he revealed some truths that haven't been spoken about before.
And I did see on the AFL's website this morning that the league has actually issued an apology to Eddie about what transpired, which I thought was interesting. And again, you know, I had just started following the game about a year, year and a half prior to that. So this was, as I was telling you off air, I said, the only thing that I really recall hearing coming out of this was something about the players walking across hot coals as kind of like a bonding experience. And I don't remember a whole lot else that had leaked out about that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, years ago, Nigel Smart, one of the former Crows players, he did that. So that's been something that's been done for years. But the crux of the matter, if you follow my Twitter, I've put up the interviews with Graham Corns and this company. But this is the key. Eddie Betts and the players were interviewed one-on-one by the management team of this company before the camp, and they were asked some deep personal questions. Now, Eddie Betts, being the terrific, nice person that he is, and we've all fallen for this, we've thought we're doing the right thing. So he revealed some very personal things about his life and about his mother that he didn't think would come back to haunt him. Now, this is the only thing that I blame Eddie Betts for, but he's younger. As you get older, you realize you only trust a few people. You don't trust people you don't know. So Eddie Betts shouldn't have told anyone some of this stuff. That's my only criticism of Eddie Betts. Should have realized, don't say stuff you don't want to people you don't trust. But he's the nice guy, went ahead and did this. Mm-hmm. Well, then in the camp, and you'll see it on my Twitter feed, the paragraph came out that these military-style guys dressed up absolutely abused the players, and this is the key. They brought up some of those issues that Eddie Betts had that he revealed in confidence that he thought, and basically yelled and screamed about him and said, and one of the lines was something like, you'll never be any good because you grew up with a single mother and stuff like this. So this is the crux of the matter.
Wow.
That they've gone overboard, and you have to be very careful with Indigenous and Aboriginal people because of the background in Australia where the white man came in and kind of destroyed their lives in some way 100 plus years ago. So very, very touchy subject. And I am on Eddie Betts' side because he's a terrific person. I believe him.
Oh, every time you see him, he seems to exude joy to people. I mean, just he has been, you know, in the time that I've been following the game since late 2016, I'll be honest with you, I cannot think of anybody that plays the game that is a better ambassador or face of the game than Eddie Betts. I can't think of anybody. He's the face of footy at this point. Yes, you know, Buddy Franklin kicked 1,000 goals, but you know, Eddie Betts has been, he's been the guy that is just, you know, the crowds have loved to love.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, after the camp, he did talk to some of the bosses at the Crows and teammates about his concerns. And then he was removed from some kind of leadership group, and it did affect him. And some people are being critical of him and saying, well, why didn't you say more a couple of years ago? Well, you know what it's like, mate. When you're working for an organization, you have to be careful what you say. You can't reveal everything while you're still working with them.
Right.
So, no, I don't blame Eddie at all for, you know, maybe sticking up for the club while he was there. But wow, this book is certainly a massive story.
And you know, now that you mention this, I wonder if this is did this stuff that's going on behind the scenes, do you think that had anything to do with his departure from the Crows at the end, and then him going back to Carlton to close out his career?
I think somewhat. Yeah, he was heading towards the end of his career.
Right,
and probably did stay. He probably did play an extra year at the Carlton when he shouldn't have. But hey, we all want to keep playing if you can. And if they give you a contract, keep playing, right?
But he was
near the end of his career. But yeah, definitely he says it affected him to a level, and it affected his family and his wife. But sure. Just the excerpts that are coming out are very interesting. And obviously the media is all over it in Australia.
And I did see that he was on AFL 360 this week. I need to go back. I have not watched that yet, so I'm going to go check that out. But, sticking with the Crows for a minute, though, it sounds like they might have themselves another little forward pocket player coming in next year. If the stories are coming out, Isaac Rankin may be jumping from Gold Coast down to Adelaide on a pretty significant deal. And it sounded like Rankin was going to stay with the Suns, but according to this, it sounds like he's going to be heading down to Adelaide on like a 5-year, $4 million deal.
Wow. Well, money talks, but I hope the Crows really get their act together, because, you know, I have been critical of the Crows. The last couple of years is the most disappointed I've ever been since they joined the competition in 91.
Yeah. It's and the other one, I mentioned this to you as we were just starting to talk before we hit the record button, a story on Zero Hanger. And I think it's actually on the AFL website as well, that Buddy Franklin has alluded to the Swans that he would like to go to Brisbane for the opportunity to win more premierships, which I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're fourth on the ladder right now. Brisbane, I think, is sixth. And truth be told, if you were to ask me which club's arrow is pointing more north than the other, I might have to say that the Swans' arrow is pointing more north than Brisbane's right now.
Oh, I reckon the Swans are a big chance. Like I said last week, put a few dollars on them to win it all. Not sure they will, but it's worth a bet. I think they're a real chance, along with probably Demons and your guys, the Cats, right now. And the Lions disappoint in big games. They proved it again last week. I like the Lions, but they got to get their act together in the pressure, right?
The Lions, and we're going to talk about them in a minute here. I just wonder what their... They don't have much of a killer instinct. And I've heard people even mention that, that maybe if they fall, hearing rumors about the Clarko going to North being a done deal. But I've also heard people say that if the Lions fall apart in finals again this year, do they look for somebody to help seal the deal? Hat tip to Volbeat there for that, and maybe try to get Clarko to come to Brisbane. Because it's a talented club, and maybe they need, they've had that kind of the great dad as the senior coach. Maybe he's the guy that's getting them to where they're ready to go. And dad's going to turn them loose and send them off to footy college, if you will, to have the next guy come along to finishing school, if you will. I don't know that. I think that would Clarko be the kind of person to take that veteran side into the finals and have some success?
Yeah, probably. Everyone loves him and thinks he's worth all the big money. But I've said this before, when he comes back and coaches again, he's going to get more attacking. Because look at the teams that are doing well this year, a.k.a. Collingwood.
Right.
Carlton recently. Yeah. Attack. Sure, you need defense, but too much defense has helped ruin the game over the last 10 to 15 years.
I mean, you can see the shift that's happened. The Cats have taken a different approach to where they're doing things this year, and it's worked out
Yeah.
To where they've got a significant, you know, pretty healthy percentage going into this. So, yeah. And just, you know, leading into the first game, you know, I did see where Ed Langdon had talked about Collingwood being a one-trick pony, where he said that they were all duck, pun intended, I'm sure, no dinner. So, you know, do they use the term in footy, do they use the term bulletin board material like they do in the NFL, where somebody says something about, you know, somebody from Club A says something about Club B, and Club B's coach just kind of hangs it in the training facility there for everybody to see. Here's what the other guys think of you.
Oh, but, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why the coaches and the hierarchies are so adamant to their players not to give fodder for the other
team.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I agree. It's hard enough as it is without being a smart ass and doing stupid comments.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. So we're hopping into round 21. We've only got two more rounds after this week before finals start. And, you know, I don't know what the people who created the fixture were thinking, but they managed to have six of the top eight clubs playing one another this weekend. And Fremantle faces the Bulldogs, who are sitting at number 10. So this should be a fantastic round of footy here. And the first game of the weekend is Melbourne hosting Collingwood. And an awful lot of ins in this game. Okay, not really. Ben Brown is in for Melbourne. Brody Mychek in for Collingwood. Cade Chandler's a medisub. Sam Wiedemann's been omitted. Taylor Adams is out hurt. And Trent Bianco has been omitted. And Jamie Elliott playing game 150. Too bad he couldn't have done that 2 weeks ago. That would have been such a nice culminating end of that game had he been able to kick that goal and get carried off for his 150th game. So what are you thinking here?
Well, first of all, it was good to see that Pat McAfee, the now very famous media guy, talked some AFL again this week. He showed some highlights of the great Collingwood after the siren goal and win. So that was good because he's got a massive following.
I'm still Melbourne,
blonde. Hey? we better be careful what we say. Anyway, yeah. Weren't the Demons smashed the Dockers so they're back? And I got that one wrong. I hate to say it. Demons are favorite by 17.5. They seem like they're back. Ben Brown's a huge in. And your Brody Mychek's a big in for Collingwood.
Yeah.
I'll take the Demons at the MCG. I can't go against them after last week. I think the Magpies might get closer than 17.5, so it might be a good one. And I think the Magpies have won something like 9 or 10 in a row, so they're going along nicely.
Yeah, the Magpies have won 10 in a row, and the last time they won a game by more than 2 goals was when they beat the D's by 26 back in round 13.
Right.
So I'm going with the D's to win this one by 10 points. You know, I think, you know, the D's getting healthier, you know, Max Gaughan is getting, you know, more game, you know, stuff under his belt. You know, I still think that pairing between the two of them is going to be, you know, he and Luke Jackson is going to still be a tough road to hoe for them, but I'm going with Melbourne by 10 there. So.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And then we head off to the University of Tasmania with Hawthorn hosting Gold Coast, sitting at number 11. They're 2 games off the 8 right now. And, you know, quite frankly, the Suns, they cannot afford, they've got to go 3-0 to have a shot at making finals here. They can't afford to lose another game. We'll talk about next week, but they've got somebody else coming to town that worries me a little bit. Are they going to find their way into the finals? Probably not, because there's too many hurdles, I think, to overcome. But, you know, are they going to have a distraction with the Isaac Rankin talks going on here? Is it true? Is it not true? I do think that the Suns are going to, you know, take one more step towards potentially making finals. You've got Denver Granger Barras coming back in, Jaron Impey coming in for Hawthorne, Jai Sarong is making his debut, Ben McAvoy playing 250. Dylan Moore playing his 50th game. I did see on the Hawthorne Instagram page where all of the players, when they had their meeting, all the players the other day, they had their meeting, they brought McAvoy in last, and everybody taped their faces up like McAvoy has done when he's got his head wounded. Everybody had bandages and such across his face. I thought that was kind of funny. Alex Davies and Brandon Ellis in for Gold Coast. I'm going with Gold Coast to win this one by two goals because I think they're a better side than Hawthorn right now, even though their defense is quietly in their back six is in disarray with all the injuries they've had. And I do want to give a quick shout out, Linton. I'm not sure if you're going to be listening, but I know you're going from having watched the Commonwealth games. Now you're in Tasmania to watch your sons play, man. You are one of the greatest supporters of sport that I know, man. Absolutely thrilled to know you. So what are you thinking there, sir?
Well, I'm torn on this one. Hawks play a lot in Tasmania. I'm going to, at this stage, tip the Hawks, but I hope the Suns win. The Suns are now 1.5-point favorite where they were when they were the underdog. But I want to talk about your mate Rankin. Did you see that goal he did last week? I've never seen this before, where he purposely did a short pass knowing he was going to get the hand pass back off the guy and then kicked that brilliant goal. I've never seen that in all the years. Sure, you can hand pass knowing you're going to get it back, but that was absolutely brilliant. So
it's how you help to reward the people who have you on their super coach team.
Yeah. And then the big fella from Richmond, Cho, he's kicked 43 goals. So fantastic recruit. Like I said, really torn on this one. At this stage, I'm going Hawks just, but really not sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think what I say, I said two goals. I think it's going to be close. I just think the Suns are maybe a little more talented right now. Then we head off to one of the games that really has no impact on – there's two games this weekend that really have no impact on finals at all. And we're going to Giant Stadium with GWS hosting Essendon. And the Giants have just played poorly the last four rounds. They've lost the last four games in a row by an average of 51 points. It's been an awful month for the Giants. And the Bombers, they were terrible to start the year. But they've become a club that at this point in time, I don't think anybody really wants to play because they've begun maybe to figure out what Rutten's wanting to do with the side. You got Jake Riccardi, Kieran Briggs, Stephen Canelio in, Callum Brown is out, Jacob Weir's injured, Lockie Osh is omitted, and Xavier O'Halloran omitted, Annie McGraw and Darcy Parrish back in for Essendon. Massimo D'Ambrosio is omitted, and Essendon is also saying jai-jai to Mr. Caldwell and Mr. Menzie, both of them who are going to be out. So it sounds like a boy band there. Jai-jai-jai. I'm going conservative on this, but I've got Essendon winning this one by 19, but I have a feeling it's going to be an even bigger margin than that because the Giants have just kind of folded up their tent, I think.
Jai Jai, that's funny. You're right. Well, two big ins, two of the best on bowlers. Andrew McGrath, the Canadian kid, he was born here, grew up in Australia. Darcy Parrish, what a revelation he's been since they moved him on the ball last year.
Right.
I'm going to go for the Giants. Sorry, the Bombers are favoured by 3.5. Yeah, I think they'll win by more than that. But the big news coming out of last week was the interim coach, Mark McVeigh. He called out and he said that they only had 8 good players and he named all 8. Like that stuff, you got to keep that stuff behind closed doors. You don't do that in public. So I think he might have blown any chance you've got of keeping that job by mentioning the 8 players. That wasn't too good.
Well, do you think that maybe he's already been told you're not the guy in 2023 and he's figured, what the hell? I'm just going to go ahead and let it hang out there. And if I don't get a coaching job, maybe one of the coaches that's working in the media gets this job and I can take their spot.
Yeah. Well, he's been an assistant there for quite a few years. So, I'm 95% sure they'll get someone new in, new blood.
Right, right. So then we head off to Marvel. And this is, again, another one of those top matchups. Again, the Bulldogs are sitting outside the 8, but they're in 10th. They're a game out of the 8th spot. They're hosting Fremantle, who's sitting at number 6. Adam Treloar and Alex Keith are back in. Sam Darcy is debutant. Buku Kamis has been omitted. Mitch Hannon omitted. Robbie McComb omitted. Ryan Gardner is injured. Darcy Tucker and Nathan O'Driscoll are in for the Fremantle. Bailey Banfield's the meta sub. Liam Henry and Travis Collier both omitted. You know, Frio's only won 2 out of 6. They've had, you know, double digit losses to 3 of the top 8 sides in those 6 games that they, you know, that they played recently. The Bulldogs have gone 3-3, so it's kind of been a push for both of them. Both these clubs need this win. Of course, the Bulldogs, you know, you could argue need it more to have a shot at getting into the 8, because if the Bulldogs get into the 8, you know, I think, you know, the Josh Bruce is going to continue to round into form. You know, Jamar Ugel-Hagan is going to continue to round into form. I don't think this is a club anybody really wants to play in finals if they get there. I think this is a quality side here. What are you thinking, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Bulldogs. They're up early against your Cats. I watched part of that game. Then your Cats kind of destroyed them in the third quarter. They're sitting outside the 8. I think they'll win. They're favored by 12.5. Well, the Dockers might get closer than that. But the Dockers were terrible, really, and their retro jerseys. I mean, what was that? Did someone just throw a bit of paint on a jersey? That was terrible-looking jersey against the D's last week. But I've got to talk about big David Mundy. I mean, he's rated in probably the 3 best Dockers players ever, along with Pavlich and Fife. Think about this, mate. He's a big body, and for him to still be playing at a great level at 37 years old, I mean, most people's bodies kind of start to waver in around 30, 31 years old when you're playing at the top level. You know, it's not like he's a little back pocket player where he could keep playing forever, kind of. So yeah. Fantastic effort by David Mundy to keep playing. I think he kind of wanted to go on again. That's what he said a couple of weeks ago, but now he's announced his retirement. Terrific fella, great ambassador, never been in trouble, big body on baller, big fan of David Mundy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I should have mentioned also Caleb Daniels playing game 150 this weekend also. I'm going with the Bulldogs by 9 as well, mainly because they are at home. Although, you know, Fremantle is certainly capable of winning this game. I just think that the Bulldogs are going to get the work done here and continue to make the bottom 8 that much more interesting over these last couple weeks, because I think we're going to still see some movement here coming up. And then we head off to GMBHA Stadium. We're starting to see the perks of that the fixture this year, where the Cats got 3 of their last 4 at home. Cats are hosting St. Kilda, who are sitting at number 8. They got 44 points. Now, the Saints have lost 5 of 8, including games against, you know, top 8 contenders. The Cats have won 10 in a row. It was an emotional win last week. You know, that third quarter, it was 8-0. Joel Selwood's being managed this week. I think he's tired from walking around the stadium and waving at people. Gary Rowan is out. Jake Koljasny is playing game 150. Brad Close playing game 50. Seems like he just got there. Dougal Howard is in for St. Kilda playing game 100. Jared Leinert's been omitted, and Ryan Burns has been omitted for them. You know, this is going to be an interesting, because you look at what the Cats have done this week. The Cats are taking a page out of St. Kilda's playbook, I think, because they're going with, you know, the last couple of weeks they've had a ruck as their Medi sub, but this time they're going with both Reese Stanley and Jonathan Segler in the 22. So they're kind of doing the what St. Kilda had done with Patty Ryder and Dougal Howard, I believe, the other ruck. You know, which means Blitzhaz is going to be he's going to be able to go everywhere on the field. He's going to be forward. He's going to be back. He's going to be tagging somebody, you know, whatever the case may be. And still no Jack Billings, no Jay Gresham. I think the Cats are going to win this one by probably 3 goals. They got a little payback coming here. Also, they lost to St. Kilda earlier in the year on the road. What are you thinking on this one?
Well, the Saints, eh? They beat the Hawks by 12 after being up big, and the Hawks kicked 8 of the last 10 goals. The Saints are in the final 8 right now on 44 points, but I don't think they will be after this round. The Cats, yeah, they're going along so nicely. And like you said, they've adjusted their play. They've got some nice young kids in amongst the mix, and they're running the ball a bit better. Because I consider them a bit like the West Coast Eagles, a bit too stop-start, possession-only type in the past few years. So they're looking really good, your Cats. 10 in a row they've won. They're favoured by 34.5. Yeah, I think it will be about that. Cats going along very, very nicely, mate. They got to keep going, and they're a big chance. They haven't had the best of record in finals recently since the 2011 flag, but I think that might change in a few weeks.
I've got my fingers crossed. But yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter this morning from the Hoop Show, Cat's YouTube channel. They were talking about how Zach Tui is listed as an emergency, so Zach Tui is not even able to get a game this week. Wow. For the Cats. And I said, that's not an awful problem for a club to have when you've got a player of his caliber who's having to sit out because they brought somebody else into the side. So, it's interesting there. So I'm kind of excited about where things might go this year. But again, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. I take nothing for granted. Then we head to the Adelaide Oval and Port Adelaide hosting Richmond. And some key outs in this game. Josh Gibkus is in for Richmond. Dylan Grimes injured. Shane Edwards managed. Bryn Teekle and Dan Houston in for Port Adelaide. Lockie Jones is injured. He's going to be out the rest of the year. Mitch Georgiotti is omitted. And Todd Marshall in the health and safety protocols, which means I have to adjust my fantasy team as soon as we get done recording here. What are you thinking on this one?
Oh, well, Port Adelaide Power were favoured by 8.5, and now I see why they're 5.5-point favourite. First of all, I forgot to mention this last week. Shane Edwards, who you just said was managed, played his 300th game. Well, interesting story. I'm not sure if you know this, but his dad, Greg Edwards, was a couple of years older than me, and he played for Central Districts in the SANFL. Fantastic full forward, but he lost an eye. Oh. So then he pretty much had to stand out of football for a while, and he came back and played for a while only with one eye. So obviously he couldn't judge the ball as well. So really sad because, he might have made the initial Crow squad. He was such a good player. Now he's in management at North Adelaide, I believe. Okay. So well done to Shane Edwards. Well, the Tigers, Tommy Lynch is on fire, and Bolton, they really won the game for them last week. I am going to go for the Tigers. Even though I don't like either team, I think the Tigers obviously have a lot to play for. Yep. And this week is the first true week that the Power can't make the finals.
Right, there might
be a bit of a letdown because of that. And then a couple of outs for the Power. Could be very close, though. Wouldn't be surprised either way. I'm going to go the Tigers in Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm going with the Tigers by 13. The rest of the comp, and again, I jotted down here, I said, the comp has continued to leave the door open for what I've said is the best club in the game since I've been following it. They won three out of four premierships. I mean, this has been the best team in the, in the 6 years or so, 7 years that I've been following the game here. And it's kind of like, needing to put the wooden stake through the vampire's heart to ensure that they're gone, but that hasn't happened yet. Cause here comes Richmond again. And again, and they're doing it without Dusty. They've done a lot of it without Tom Lynch in the side. And if Dusty comes back in a couple of weeks, they could just shock everybody, win the whole damn thing again and just go, what? You didn't think we could do this? this is a side that, and they close out after this week. They've got Hawthorn and Essendon. So they're not exactly, Essendon will be a challenge. Hawthorn is not an easy win, but it's not Melbourne. It's not Carlton. It's not Geelong that they're playing in the last couple of rounds here. They've got a slightly easier run home. So,
yeah.
Don't count them out. Yeah.
Just quickly, I forgot to mention this. I heard about this a week or two ago, so I went to the Google machine and searched on it. The official Port Adelaide sign outside of the their home of Alberton on Port Road, someone stuck a sign over the top like Sack Hinkley.
Yeah.
Like, not cool, but kind of funny, I suppose.
They took the sign. They took the whole sign down then. I did see they removed the entire sign. So it was such good glue that was on the sticker that they couldn't get it peeled off. So they're having to put up a new sign.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll put it under some plexiglass so that if something happens, they can just replace the plexiglass then. So we head to Marvel, and North Melbourne is hosting Sydney. There's a lot of interesting backstories here. You know, the stories about, you know, Clarko having met with Sonya Hood, possibly about that position with North. You know, the Buddy Franklin stuff that's come out here. Are there gonna be distractions? You know, I think North will make the game competitive, but the Swans are far and away too talented a side for them right now, because the Swans, quite frankly, could jump into the number three spot. I don't think they can jump into two, but I think they could jump into the three spot depending on the outcome of the D's and Pies game and what kind of percentage that the Swans can add this week. I'm going by Sydney to win this one by 3.5 goals. Oh, I should tell you the ins and outs. I didn't mention that, though. Aaron Hall, Aiden Corr, Flynn Perez, Lockie Young, Paul Curtis are all in. Josh Goeder is debuting as of right now for North Melbourne. Ben Ronke, Logan McDonald, Matt Roberts, Peter Laddams are in. No Party this week because Joel Amarty has been omitted. And Curtis Taylor playing game 50.
Wow, yes, you're dead right. If the Magpies lose, the Swans will jump in because their percentage is 126 and the Magpies is 106.
Well, the Magpies' percentage is worse than everybody's in the eight, except I think St. Kilda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right there. Well, the Swans destroyed the GWS by 73 points. That's disappointing for the Giants. Swans are now 47.5 point favorite. Yeah, they should get that done. I don't know if it will be quite that much because it is in Melbourne at Marvel. Again, like I said, I'm liking the Swans to maybe be a chance to get to the grand final. So they won't let the foot off the pedal this week, I wouldn't think.
Right.
To win.
Yeah. I think this is a chance for them to add percentage right now and maybe get themselves a home finals game, possibly. Then we head on to the GABA, and you've got Brisbane hosting Carlton, and you talk about two ships that are taking on water here, to stay with the Navy metaphor from earlier. You know, Brisbane gave up a 6-goal lead to the Tigers. Carlton, you know, went to the Adelaide Oval, and your Crows just absolutely spanked the bat snot out of them. You know, a lot of ins. Brandon Starcevich, Daniel Rich, Jackson Pryor, Kai Lohman are in. Nakia Cockatoo's been omitted. What do you think in Brisbane? Brody Kemp, Caleb Marchbank, Jack Martin, Jack Nunes, Lockie Fogarty, Patty Dow in for Carlton. Lockie Plowman and has been omitted. Matthew Kennedy, Nick Newman injured. Adam Saad playing game 150 and Caleb Marchbank playing 50. So what are you thinking here, sir?
Oh, well, like I said last week, the guy on AFL Daily called the Crows putrid. Well, the Blues were putrid last week. Is he losing to the Crows, my team? You know, the Crows, they went in hard, but there's really not a huge amount of skill there. They're in a bit of trouble, the Blues. They got the D's and the Magpies after this week, so there's a chance they can miss the eight. Yes. That would kind of be funny. I'm going for the Lions, even though they were disgusting against the Tigers, up by 42 points in the second, and then to lose it, like, oh, my God, was terrible. But another funny story, last week on Sports Grid, I told Gabe the safest multi-parlay was the Blues, the Swans, and the Cats. Well, luckily, he didn't listen to me. He took your Cats and the Swans, so I got a bit lucky there, but yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Blues are terrible, terrible.
I'll tell you what, and again, I'm not hoping that Carlton misses finals. I don't care one way or the other, but you talk about some fodder that supporters from Collingwood and Richmond, if they get in, and St. Kilda, if they stay in the eight, you know, the other Melbourne-based clubs all summer long are going to be able to talk about the collapse of the Blues in 2022. if that happens, you know, it's boy, that's going to be some, you know, there'll be more than one beer tossed in somebody's face about that one. I have a feeling. So yeah, I'm going with Brisbane by 10 in this one as well. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, both of them need to win this one, which maybe means it should just go ahead and be a draw. give each of them 2 points. Let's just continue to muddy the waters a little bit there. And the final game of the weekend, and we head out to Optus Stadium. You got West Coast hosting the upstart Adelaide Crows. Yeah, there we got a lot of ins for the Eagles. Greg Clark, Jackson Nelson, Josh Kennedy, Rhett Bazo, Sam Petrevsky-Seaton, Zach Langdon all in. Connor West injured, Petricelli injured, Jai Cully still serving a suspension. Willie Reloy plays game 50. He could be a 200-game player right now had he not been suspended, I think. Billy Frampton, Jackson Haley, Lockie Scholler all in. Rory Laird playing game 200 for the Crows. You know, this one doesn't matter in terms of finals. It does matter in terms of employment for a lot of these players for next year in terms of where they're going to be playing. But I think this is going to be an entertaining game here. And I'm going to go ahead and go first here. I think the Crows are going to get their second win in a row here. So I'm going with Adelaide to get the win on the road by 8 points. I think it's going to be an entertaining game because you have so many people who are, you know, who may be on the periphery who are playing for their career in some instances.
All right. I got a couple of stories. Well, first of all, Rory Laird, absolute champion, equal best player this year again for the Crows. But I said the other week, Rory Laird's dad, I wasn't sure if it was his dentist or my dad's doctor. So I asked my dad, and dad said, no, Rory Laird's dad is my dad's hearing specialist. So okay. Maybe I need to open my ears. great player. First of all, I want to talk about Josh Kennedy. I mean, what an absolute star he has been since coming across from Carlton many years ago. Mm-hmm. I laughed for years at his stutter when he would walk in and kick for goal. He'd like stutter with his feet. It was funny. I'm not dissing him at all. I just thought it was funny.
I couldn't diss him
because he's such a good player and a very good kick for goal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stutter as much in his step in the later part of his career. Brilliant, brilliant player. Now, I am going for the Eagles for three reasons. Maybe the Crows news this week might affect the Crows. I think the Eagles players should get up for Josh Kennedy. And also, my dad went ahead of me on tips last week. So I think he'll tip the Crows. So I'm going for the Eagles to
win.
But I think they might get it done.
There you go. Yeah, I think this will be a fun game to watch. Anyway, you know what? I didn't factor in the stuff about the news that's come out about the club into my choice. I might have gone differently than that, you know, but I'll stick with the Crows on this one. But again, this is going to be a good round of football based upon the fact that, like I said, we got six of the eight top sides playing against one another, and a seventh one is playing against a team that's trying to get into the eight. So, Mick, before we wrap up here, sir, where can people find you?
All right, Mick, that's M-Y-K, Aussie, A-U-S-S-I-E. Google that, mickaussie.tv. I keep updated with the shows I do. Obviously, a link to your podcast as well. And Twitter, mickaussie. And also Friday nights on Sports Grid TV out of New York. So enjoy that, talking CFL and AFL, and we'll start to talk a little bit of NFL as well because the Hall of Fame game is on tonight. So NFL is here, mate.
Now, will you, once the men's comp wraps up, are you still on Gabe's show during the NFL season then?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's probably my main gig, actually, because – Gabe is massive NFL. He's massive college football. He promotes the CFL probably better than anyone to the USA market. So, yeah, I stay on right through to Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl, and then I normally have like a six-week break. So
now
I'm pretty much on his show every week.
Are you going to start talking about the AFLW?
Well, actually, funny you brought that up. Last year when he didn't call me to be on after the Super Bowl, I kind of texted him and said, hey, Gabe, we got AFLW. You want me on about that? He said, oh, Mick, I love the football, but no, it doesn't quite cut it for my show. So I put the hint out there, mate.
Yeah. It's I think it's, you know, the where they've moved the game with the season is a good one now, but I think maybe before it's all said and done, they even want to, are going to want to push it back a few weeks, because I mean, the first half of the women's fixture is going to get lost in men's finals. And, you know, those of us who do podcasts, those of us who do the shows that you do, we're going to be guilty of that sort of thing as well, because there's only a finite amount of time that we have to devote to doing things for our shows. You know, and something's going to have to give, you know, somewhere. So I'm worried about doing a disservice to the women's game when it's not an intentional thing that I'll be doing.
Oh, mate, don't worry about that at all, because you promote the women as much as probably anyone here in the USA. And yes, I'm a fan of it. It is growing. But there's also critics of it in Australia as well. Like, right, some of my mates, they know the AFL should not be putting that money into the women's comp. They should be putting it into local men's football. But hey, I'm a fan of it. I think it's been amazing. It's one of Gil McLachlan's legacies. Absolutely it is. I was so surprised when they formed the AFL women, and mm-hmm, I'm a fan of it, absolutely. So, no, don't be guilty. But with the finals, I think one reason is because less games in the finals. They wanted to bring it in then so that it can get some publicity.
That's true. And I haven't looked at the fixture that closely yet. I wonder how many of the games are going to be happening, say, on like a Wednesday, Thursday night that would allow for the games to be played, you know, outside of the dome, if you will, of the men's finals games. And I know there's not a lot of them, so I guess maybe if they played the men's finals games in the evening and the women's games in the morning, that might work out okay then. But we'll see.
Well, if I was running it, what I would do, because in SANFL and VFL back in the day, you always had the reserves, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd have the reserves come in, and we're all basically one anyway, but obviously you're trying to get in the league side. So the reserves would start at 11 o'clock in the morning. The league would start at 2:20. So why not have the AFL women as a pre-game to the AFL finals? No problem doing that.
I don't see a problem with that. Of course, you'd have to have the clubs. I guess it wouldn't really matter if, you know, say Essendon was playing Collingwood in a women's game and it was a Carlton finals game, if Carlton runs this gauntlet over the next 3 weeks. So, oh well. Hey, man, I know you got to get to work. I have to sit down and look at the calendar and realize I've got to get back to work in about 3 weeks. I'm actually going to head into my classroom again today, get some work done there. I went in for a few hours yesterday, so should be a good week of football. Excited, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And kids, don't put your mouth guard in your sock. And I hope those Cats players, their dribble kick doesn't hit the goalpost. Have a great weekend, mate. Yeah.
I did listen to the Duff and Quarters piece where you did send the note into them the other day. I listened to that yesterday.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I love those guys. Because so many shows are Melbourne biased, so that's why I love the Perth guys. They really give a great perspective from outside of Melbourne. Right. And hopefully we're doing the same.
And they were critical, yeah, it's the only time I've listened to them, but they were critical of the Eagles and of the Dockers. They weren't Perth-centric. They weren't focused on, you know, let's rah, rah, rah for the Eagles and the Dockers. They were pragmatic, which I like that. I like that. So, hey,
yeah,
have a great Thursday, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, mate. And cheers. If you do go to Australia, get to Perth. It's a fantastic spot. Have a great weekend, mate.
You bet. You too.
All right, Mick. Hey, thanks, man, for coming on again. I know that this is an early morning for you when we're doing this. It's about 7:15 your time when we're sitting down to do this. Remember, if you head over to my website at yankonthefooty.com, you can find everything that you need. Ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check in with your friends. Make sure they're okay. Tell them you love them. See what's happening in their world. Give them a phone call. Reach out to them. Just stay in touch, okay? I can't tell you that, you know, anything more than that. And I appreciate the kind words that I get from you. I really appreciate the support that all of you have provided. And just having an absolute blast doing this. It's getting to be crunch time for me. I actually go back to work in about 2.5 weeks, so my summer is winding down, and I'm ready to go back to work. Well, I'm ready to get back into the classroom. I've got a lot to do before I go back to work, but we're getting there. But folks, as always, may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. This has been episode 192 of A Yank on the Footy. Don't forget that you can reach me on all of my socials, which you can find on my website at yankonthefooty.com. Yank underscore on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. The podcast website over on Facebook is just look for Yank on the Footy podcast. Shoot me an email to yankonthefooty@gmail.com. And folks, I do hope you consider sharing the episode with your friends and family. Tell them about this crazy American who loves your game. And I thank you for sharing your game with you. And until next time, everybody, this is Craig Wessels. Goodbye.